Welcome to the Wordy Girl Entertainment Podcast. I am your writer-in-chief, Rosalind Jackson. I am a lover of words, and that love led me to a passion for writing. And what's the next best thing to writing? Talking about writing. So kick back and join me for mind-blowing chats about writing, covering everything from screenplays to novels to poetry, from nonfiction books to songwriting, and much more. Cornell Thomas is the perfect example of turning a loss into a win. 2 weeks away from playing professional basketball in Europe, Cornell suffered a career-ending injury that derailed his dream. Growing up with adversity his whole life allowed Cornell to get past "why me" and focus on "what now." Cornell now shares his story all over the world. He's a multi-book author and expert in positive self-awareness. Cornell has been endorsed by some of the top experts in his field, including Tony Robbins and Dr. Cornell West. Welcome to the Wordy Girl Entertainment Podcast, Mr. Cornell Thomas.
Thank you so much. This is an honor for me to be here.
I really appreciate you doing this. So I just read your bio, but your bio is very humble. So I need you to tell the people who Cornell Thomas is.
Okay. Well, thank you, first off. And I am a husband, father, speaker, author, social entrepreneur, and I'm currently creating a TV show about purpose called On Purpose, where I travel all over the world and interview ordinary humans who are doing extraordinary things for humanity. So I do a lot of things. On top of that, I train kids for basketball. I'm a youth trainer. I was a former basketball coach, former basketball player. So I do a bunch. I have a lot of different hats that I wear. But the most important for me is just giving back and helping people as much as I can.
And that sounds great. Now, you are big on positivity, and in fact, you've written 3 books on the subject. So tell us about your books.
My first book was called The Power of Positivity, Controlling Where the Ball Bounces, and that was just sharing with people my story. I think a lot of people, I was very introverted before I started writing about what I've been through growing up and feelings and emotions. And so when I started writing, it was funny. My wife was like, I didn't know that. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, it was just my way of letting things out. So that was more about me. My second book was called The Power of Me, Army of One. That was more about the reader. It was developing the mindset needed to be successful in life. And the third book, Extraordinary, The Distance Between Good and Great, it was a combination of both. It was a little bit of my story, but it was also about, you know, what we can do to be great at things and understanding that we're not that far away. My theory is life is just all mindset. And the stronger your mind is, the better your life will be.
Oh, I like that. And so you have a big presence on social media. Your positivity is reflected in your social media platform. So with the current state of social media, as it is, you know, it's known for being negative and people are haters and got scammers all over the place.
Sure.
How do you maintain a message of positivity in that space?
Yeah. Well, I look at social media 2 ways. So there's the version you just said, right? Like, so
right.
If you really sit and look at people's timelines and it's divisive and it's angry and people are just combating one another. But then you look at it the other side and you have people like yourself and Tracy Emmons and me and people that are just posting positive messages. So I sift through the garbage and then I find that treasure. Right. So I don't pay attention. I don't go down the negative rabbit hole of social media, which you can easily do. You post something, someone's like you and you're like, what? Someone said what? What? They said, oh, OK. And then next thing you know, you're just going at it on social media and wasting time out of your life. So I just concentrate on the more positive posts and positive information.
That is so true. You can get in that trap. Sometimes I have to watch myself because I can get there and I'm like, okay, let me stop.
Yeah. It is not just you getting there though, Roz. It's people taking you there, right?
Right, right.
There are people that you've known for a long time in your life, And you just never knew that they had maybe had this opinion or felt this sort of way.
Right.
And they kind of get you in your feelings where you're like, wait, what? Oh, this is what you thought? And then you're going back and forth. So it's not like I don't see the negativity. I always tell people, I'm not like all rainbows and butterflies. Like when I go out and speak, I tell people straight up, like life is going to punch you in the mouth. It's just how you respond to it. So, you know, I don't, it's not all, you know, just, oh my gosh, everything's, I know there's negativity out in the world. It's just you, it's what you choose to focus on.
Correct. Correct. That's so true. And speaking of rainbows and butterflies, some people don't believe in the message of positivity. Mm-hmm. They think it's all about, you know, rainbows and puppies, and it doesn't really help. It doesn't really help anybody. So how can a skeptic like that receive and implement your message of positivity?
Well, this is such a great point and such a fantastic question. They can't. Mm. They can't, because unless you're open to it, you'll never see it. And the analogy I love to use is, it's when you decide to buy a new car. You've never seen that car anywhere until you think about that new car. So as you're thinking about the process of buying that new car, when you get that new car, then you start to see it everywhere. But that new car has been there the whole entire time. Your eyes were just not open to it. Your mind was just not open to it. Mm-hmm. So if someone is extremely negative and their mind is not open to the possibility of thinking different, guess what? I don't care who you are. You're not going to change the way they think. Mm-hmm. So it's important to understand that there are some people that are stuck in their ways. There's some people that are going to be that way. And until they decide that I want to change, they're not going to change. And I tried to save everybody from this negative, you know, cloud mm-hmm. that follows some of these people around. And then I realized, Cornell, if you talk to a brick wall long enough, you're the one that looks foolish. So you have to, you just let people be them. Let them, like, you know, people say, hey, go do you. You got to let people do them.
Right.
And when they come around to it, I'll be there for them. But until then, I'm not going to sit there and waste a crazy amount of time trying to convince them of something that is common sense.
Right, right. We got to do something about them, because they're taking this world in a crazy direction.
They are. And you know what? It's funny that you said that, because you get what you attract, right? So
true.
There are people that are super negative that, for whatever reason, it's like they attract a following of people just like them.
Right.
But there are people like us that are positive, and we attract the following too. I mean, you're from Los Angeles, right?
Yes.
I'm from New Jersey, but yet I've seen you 3 times, 4 times already, and we talk on the phone, we message back and forth. How does that happen? It happens mm-hmm. because there's a higher power involved that's connecting us positive people as well. So I always look at the yin and yang of things, right? There's a reason that, you know, there's negative people, et cetera. But, man, look how many positive people are starting to connect now through social media also.
Right, right. That's very true. I do believe in energies and frequencies, and they do mm-hmm. attract, you know, on the same level.
Sure. 100%.
That's right. And so now, as I said, you've written 3 books. Mm-hmm. And when did you know you wanted to be a writer?
Oof. let's see. When did I know I wanted to be a writer? I would say, so my first book came out in 2013, right? Mm-hmm. And before that, I started getting into this space because I was sick of seeing all the negativity on social media. So I started making my own quotes. And then the quotes turned into blogs. And then I would say it was 6 months into my blogs where I said, you know what, I can write a book. Like, I can really write a book. Like, I don't mm-hmm. know how I'm going to do it. I'm going to have to probably ask Google about it. But I can figure this out.
Not Google.
Google had the answer. Google's like, go to create space. And I just started writing. And I said, I started to see that our words have so much power. So why not write a book? Why? Because mm-hmm. books don't have a shelf life. People don't really throw books away.
Right.
So if I write this book, and it ends up on someone's, you know, coffee table, either they don't read it, someone might walk past and see this crazy dude standing on 2 basketballs with 2 basketballs on his hand and say, what's he about? Mm-hmm. And maybe they'll pick it up. So that's what made me write, is just the fact that I saw how powerful our words are and the impact that they can make on other people.
Okay. And what other kind of writing do you do?
Every once in a while you'll see I'll post a poem on Facebook or Instagram. So sometimes I'll write poetry. It's very, very rare, but when I'm really moved, especially when there's a social injustice or I just see the poetry side come out, and I'll write a poem. That's it. I kind of write. I'll write blogs still every once in a while. I'll do guest blogs for people. I do a lot of writing just for myself, and that's just ideas and execution, things that I want to happen, and then what they look like. So I do that as well. So that's the only really writing I do. I do a lot of speaking.
Okay. Yeah, I would love to read some of your poetry.
Oh, okay. I would love to get your eyes on it and see what you think.
Because I'm a poet also, so.
Oh, now you put some pressure on me. Now you're putting the pressure. Now I'm not sure if I want you to read it. Now I want you to. I got to understand that when you have the word wordy giant, like, you know, that should have told me all I needed to know. Right. But okay, I got it.
So what is your writing process when you have an idea in your head that you want to write? Like, what is your writing process?
It's funny. So there are different types of writers. There are people that, you know, they sit themselves in front of the computer and they don't get up until they write a certain amount of words, certain amount of pages. I do not do that. I write when I'm inspired. That's it. I write when I'm inspired. When I feel it, I write. When I don't feel it, I get myself up and I start to move because nothing happens from stagnation. So sitting in front of a computer looking at the cursor does nothing for me. It just gets me frustrated. So why would I write in frustration? So there'll be times where I'm on a plane. Yesterday, you know, I went out and got something to eat and I had my computer. It was just me by myself and I'm just sitting there and I just was listening to music and I was like, all right, I'm going to start writing a little bit. And so I started writing, you know, parts of my fifth book and I'm like, okay, yeah, this is flowing. And then as soon as it stopped, I stopped. I closed my computer and I saw I'll go back to it later.
Okay. That sounds like a great process. Yeah. It wouldn't work for me because I have to stay on top of myself because procrastination is my middle name.
Yeah.
And I'm fighting against that every day.
Yeah. The struggle is real. The struggle is real as writers because it's such a personal thing and it's coming from our heart space. So, you know, we're our biggest critics. So we'll look at writing. Like I used to throw poems away. And my mom says, stop throwing poems away because just because you don't like it, someone else might love it.
Right.
And I said, okay, Mom, that makes a lot of sense. And I started, you know, just keeping my poems, but we're our biggest critics. We're like, this isn't good.
That's true.
It could change someone else's life.
That's very true. Now, who are some of your favorite writers?
Ooh, my favorite writers. So my favorite poets are Langston Hughes, Maya Angelou. I love Paul Dunbar. Mm. They're my favorite author I would say probably by far is Malcolm Gladwell.
Okay.
That's my favorite author. And the reason he's my favorite author is because he makes the normal seem interesting. His mind works very different. It's I've read every single book that he's ever put out and I've listened to every podcast because the way he thinks about things, like things that everyday things that don't matter but matter. You know, like if you think about it, it matters. So I like people that challenge me, like, mentally. He's one of my favorites. And, I've read so many different types of books. Like, my books are all over the place. You know, like, you read Malcolm X with Alex Haley's version of it. Mm-hmm. And then I'd read, like, How to Be Interesting by this lady, Jessica Hagee.
Okay.
You know, then I'll read a Malcolm Gladwell book. Then I'll read, you know, a book on nonconformist. Then I'll read about it. So my stuff is all over the place. I just like to read about interesting people.
Okay. And I noticed on your book, The Power of Positivity, that Tony Robbins gave you a blurb shout out.
Yeah.
That is so amazing. I love him.
Yeah.
So how did that come about?
That was a year in the process. So when I first started writing quotes, I used to send a quote to Tony every single day. Like every day I'd send, I mean, do my own personal quote, but I sent him a quote. And after like 4 or 5 months, he started, you know, retweeting the quote. And there was a woman who I sent a book to from Vietnam in 2013. And 2 years later, she asked me if I'd be interested in going to a Tony Robbins event if her and her husband paid for it. And I was like, blown away, like, what? And she's like, yeah. So I'm like, okay. So I just tweeted something out, you know, looking forward to going. Because I wanted to go there to see how he was as a speaker. Mm-hmm. Like, to be honest, that was my only objective. I didn't care about anything else. And I got that much more, you know, more when I got there. But I went there to see if this dude is real. And I mm-hmm. went there. I was like, okay, this cat is the real deal. Like, he's legit. And afterwards, I wrote him. I said, listen, I had a great time, you know, at your... And I talked to him while I was there. He asked a question. I raised my hand, and we had a 10-minute conversation.
Wow.
And I said, I got to see that you were a real human. I'd love for you to write the foreword to my book. He wrote me back right away. Contact my executive assistant. He was signed with Simon & Schuster, so he couldn't write the foreword. But he's like, I could write you, you know, a testimonial.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I would love it. So I'm like, okay, think here. Now, he can write a testimonial of the book, or he can write something about you. What would you rather? I said, I'd rather have something about me, because that's something that you can use for every book for the rest of your life.
Right.
So he wrote this great, man, just two great little paragraphs about me in the book, which was I was super humbled and grateful for. And that's how it came about. So it took a year to get all that.
Oh, wow.
But I was relentless. My book was done 7 months before mm-hmm. I got the testimonial, but I said, I'm not going to get anybody's testimony until, you know, I get Tony's. And he did. Like, I mean, I have plenty of people that they could have gave me a great, great testimonial that have been amazing. But I was like, for this book, because it's called Extraordinary, I want Tony's testimony endorsement on it.
Oh, wow. That is so amazing. That's amazing that he responded to you and got back to you like that.
He's a good dude. And when people help you, and there's nothing you can really do to help them, those are people that are amazing people, right?
Exactly.
Like, just some people on this planet, they have everything. They have, you know, they have mansions, and they have this, and they have that. You can't help them.
Right.
And when they reach their hand out to help you, and, you know, Tracy's a great example.
Mm-hmm.
I love Tracy Edmonds, you know, because when I first messaged her years ago, we just had a rapport back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at people, I look at everybody as equal. I don't look at anybody above me, no one below me. So, and I didn't want anything. I just was like, this just seems like an amazing human being. And then next thing you know, we're meeting at Universal Studios and talking face-to-face. Then I'm mm-hmm. at her house and we're talking. I get a chance to meet you. And mm-hmm. she's just a great human being.
She is.
That is, she's just real. She's all about making connections with good people. And that's how I am. So it really, the biggest thing is the ask, right? You don't be afraid to ask another human for something if you're doing good work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Period. I'm not afraid. Humans don't frighten me. My mom does. That's the only human that frightens me. Everybody else is whatever.
So now you are stepping into the TV and film world as a mm-hmm. producer. What mm-hmm. kind of projects are you producing right now?
My one and only project right now is my TV show. It's called On Purpose. And it's just something that I felt. It's the same thing with writing. I just felt like it was needed. I thought this was a time where I look at things that are on TV and I'm just not excited about it. I'm mm-hmm. like, okay, if it's not fiction, then it's not really good. And there's nothing positive coming out of it. All of it's divisive or, it's, you know, scandalous stuff or, you know, Real Housewives of this. It's just garbage to me. So I'm like, my mom always told me, if you don't like something, change it. I don't like what I see on TV, so I'm going to change it. So we're going to work on this TV show right now. We're in the funding stage, trying to just find people to invest in it. And I'm going to shoot, you know, we're going to shoot it ourselves. We'll shoot the first two episodes and then pitch those first two episodes and then come back out to LA and pitch the first two episodes to networks and see who picks it up. And if, for whatever reason, people aren't feeling it, then we'll just make it ourselves. We'll make our own channel and we'll do it ourselves. So yes. I just don't let anything stop me from doing what I want to do.
Yes, that's important to, that's an important mindset to have.
Yeah.
Because you don't want anybody blocking what you want to do.
Nope, not at all. We provide our own limitations, and we do that often.
Right.
So I'm going to make sure that doesn't happen when it comes to the TV show. And when the TV show, you know, takes off and it comes to fruition, when we have our opening night, you know you're going to be right there in the front row.
Ah, yes, I will be there.
I got to have my girl Roz there.
So what will the show be about? Is it anything you can discuss right now?
Oh, yeah, I can discuss it for sure. So I'm just going to, you know, travel all over. And there's a bunch of people that are doing really good things in the micro for humanity that people just don't know about. They don't know about these people. They're almost like hidden, right? Because they're doing their thing all different parts of the world and like kind of in a small scale. So my whole premise for the show is bringing their idea, like all their ideas and their stories to life and having the world see who they are and what they're doing to bring like positive programming to television.
Oh, wow. That sounds amazing. Yeah.
Yes. So we've already like the trailer shot. I'm the pilot episode. And then I have a lady by the name of Jennifer Shum DePaul. She's has a company called Project Kind, a nonprofit called Project Kind. And she does amazing things for the homeless. She's our first episode. So we're ready. We're just, as soon as that funding comes in, we're going to be off and running.
Oh, that's amazing. I can't wait to see it.
Thank you so much.
Now, what's your overall goal with TV and film? Are you looking to create a production company at some point, or what's your goal in that area?
You know, it's funny. I have not really thought past the TV show. It would be great to start a production company and give people, especially, you know, people of color that are out there, you know, just that need the help, right? That are like, hey, you know what? I want to do this. I have this idea. I'm creative. Give them a platform to produce things. I mean, it's no hidden secret that, you know, it's a tough world to crack for brown skin folks in L.A. So to be able to do that, I also want to use that platform to, you know, maybe start my own channel, right? Like have our own, you know, channel where it's just, you know, positive, you know, programming, positive news and things that are uniting the planet instead of dividing the planet.
Definitely. Okay. Well, I'll have to have you back on once you get that up and running so we can discuss that.
You'll be too big by then. I'll be like, hey, Ross, can I get on the show? You'll be like, you know what, Cornell, I would love to have you on the show, but Tony's coming on and this was coming on. And,
right?
You know, I'll just cherish these moments until you get too big for me.
never that. So tell the people where they can find you online.
Sure. So my website is cornell-thomas.com. On Instagram, it's just Cornell Thomas 34, Facebook Cornell Thomas, and Twitter at Cornell Thomas. And I try to respond back as soon as possible. So if you hit me up, I'll hit you right back.
That is great. Okay. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out. I know you're a busy man. You got to get to other places while you're out here in LA. You got a hob and knob in LA.
Man, I'm telling you, Roz, like the grind. Like I'm here. I had yesterday at 9 meetings.
Oh, 9?
I started at 5 a.m.
My goodness.
Yeah. So it's
I'm up in LA at 5 a.m.
Yeah. Oh, man. But yeah, this is an honor. Thank you so much for having me here.
You're welcome. All right. Thanks for taking the time to tune in to the Wordy Girl Entertainment Podcast. Don't forget to check out my blog at www.wordygirlent.com. That's wordygirlent.com. You can also find me on Instagram and Twitter at wordygirlent and on Facebook at www.facebook.com/wordygirlent. And always remember, it all begins with a single word. So what are you waiting for? Go write.